we see the payers are gradually sort of moving the needles, trying to think about what their strategy should look like if this is really the future where the patients really want to be treated at home.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We are here today joined by Dr. Chengkai Cao, Chief Clinical Informatics Information Officer at the University of Chicago Medicine. Kai, thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Nice to meet you, Jordan. And hello, everyone.
So today we're going to be speaking about University of Chicago Medicine's Hospital at Home program. To get us started off, Kai, would you tell us a little bit about the program, its background, and your involvement in it?
Yeah, so at University of Chicago Medicine, we are launching this very exciting program. We are still in the planning phase, but we plan to officially launch the program in January, and we'll start to see our very first patient as soon as next month. So it's a lot of work really around how do we actually provide inpatient level care to the patient's home. And I'll be elaborating more details about the program itself, but long story short, there's a lot of desire from the patients to be able to actually be seen at home, especially over the pandemic. There's a lot of growing trend about, you know, is this something I can just take care of myself at home with doctors and nurses coming to my house? Very excited that we are working together internally and also working with a lot of partners across the nation to work on this project.
Just so that we can align with our listeners on the definition of what we're talking about, the American Hospital Association defines hospital at home as a program that enables some patients who need acute level care to receive care in their homes rather than in a hospital. This care delivery model has been shown to reduce costs, improve outcomes, and enhance the patient experience. Again, that's from the AHA. Kai, is that a fair definition that aligns with UChicago's efforts?
Yes, I think that's a very fair definition. But beyond just hospital at home, we are essentially looking at overall this home care-based model where, you know, can we expand our services to the patient's home, not just the inpatient stay? So for example, can we do urgent care at home? Can we do more like SNF at home, rehab at home? Can we include our existing home health services and really expand that to become providing a spectrum of, you know, different services to the patient's home? Rather than just focusing on acute care.
So what's the impetus for University of Chicago Medicine to start moving care from the actual facility to care at home? Is it patient demand or is there another reason?
That's a great question. So I think we see the trend of the patient demand. That's one of the reasons. I mean, traditionally there has been a lot of home-based services, you know, home dialysis, home hospice, you know, and you know, obviously home health. But I think more and more we see the trend overall towards the home-based model, like we talk about, to really treat the patient, you know, with the right service at the right place, rather than compared with the traditional model where it's more like episodic care. Patients come to the hospital or clinics, regardless of inpatient or outpatients, only when they are sick. But what we really are, you know, aiming to do is be able to provide a spectrum of care that really have provide better monitoring, better support to improve patients' health, not just, you know, within these episodes. But for the institution, there's obviously a couple of other reasons too. First, you know, our capacity and access has been an issue. You know, our hospitals almost always fall. So at any given time, there's an issue around how can we actually create more capacity so we can actually see more patients, because otherwise they are waiting in the emergency room. So expanding the capacity and access is one of the top you know, reasons why to do it for institution. Secondly, we also are looking at a lot of benefit that's been proven in this program, in other pilot programs, in other institutions. There has been studies showing that, you know, this program reduced the cost, reduced readmissions, and also reduced ED visits. And also it really improved the patient experience by reducing delirium, allowing them to have more activities and actually sleep better at home compared with the experience within brick and mortar. And third, really we want to take this opportunity to examine the social determinants of health. We have been really trying very hard, trying to connect the patients especially those with lower social economical status, with the support they can have, with the city, with the government, or with the NGOs. But so far, there's been, limited to a screening when the patient is in the hospital. But now we have the opportunity to actually look at the patient's home and actually do something more by actually looking at what do you mean by, you need really have trouble getting around, how many flights of stairs you actually have, how many obstacles you have between your home to your, food supply and your transportation, and how can we actually help you with those to make sure you get to the right appointments, make sure you get to the dialysis on time.
You know, Kai, you raise a lot of interesting points about the impetus for starting this hospital at home program. One thing I'm noticing is some of our listeners may be CFOs, CEOs, individuals who may be concerned with generating revenues in the healthcare delivery system. When traditionally in a fee-for-service model, when you say you want to reduce readmissions and ER visits, that may translate into lost revenue for healthcare delivery systems. So clearly, I think what you're implying by trying to shift care into the community is that there's been a transition, at least at University of Chicago, to maybe some sort of bundled payments, risk sharing, accountable care organization networks that enable you to care for population health over the long term. Can you speak to some of these different payment models, these new innovations that may be the result of the Affordable Care Act, and how you're financially able to transition to caring for a population and wellness and preventive health instead of kind of reactionary fee-for-service medicine?
That's a great question, Jordan. And you are right. One of the biggest limiting factor for, hospital at home program or even overall telehealth before the pandemic has been the reimbursement. There's technologies out there. We can FaceTime with our family members, right? 10 years ago. But the challenge has been who is going to pay for these services when we provide them at home or provide them remotely. So, this pandemic, if there's any silver lining, one of which is really expedite the system level change around the payment model for telehealth. So actually in October 2020, CMS actually launched a program which they call a waiver program that waive the right to see the patient within the four walls of the hospital if the institution can provide a reasonable plan and get approved. So with this waiver, which we obtained about 1 year ago, we are now allowed to actually build CMS for fee-for-service for patients admitted to a hospital home program. So there's definitely some components and some insurance we need to pay even under a fee-for-service model for these patients. But on the other side, as you mentioned, this program is very aligned with other value-based programs like Medicare Advantage and a couple of other value-based policies with other payers. So I think there's a lot of excitement and we see the payers are gradually sort of moving the needles, trying to think about what their strategy should look like if this is really the future where the patients really want to be treated at home. So we're happy to see a lot of movement, including a bill that's being introduced to the Congress, hopefully will be discussed and passed by next January to really extend the payment for hospital home program by CMS for extended for two more years. And I think with that change, which will really encourage more payers like a private insurance to really continue to fall in line in terms of supporting this type of new care model.
If some of our listeners are tuned into this episode and are considering potentially rolling out a hospital at home program at their hospitals, to what extent do they have to be aware, to what extent must they collaborate with payers in order to what extent do they need cooperation from payers? Do they need a partnership with payers? Do they need to have these sort of value-based payment policies already established in their hospitals, or are these things they can do wherever, regardless of where they are?
That's a great question. So I would suggest for those who are considering this, I mean, if your first step, if looking at all the payers, CMS is obviously the one that has currently a waiver program. So CMS fee-for-service will be your first starting point. So looking at your patient population, identify how big their population is, and do a very candid analysis internally around, when you see these patients at home, how big of that census would be, you can really just calculate the total addressable patient volumes. And then you also think about, let's say if you see five patients at home, which doesn't sound like a lot, but in the meantime, you're freeing up five beds in-house, right? So there will be backfill revenues coming from those five patients. They will now be able to actually be admitted to the brick and mortar. So doing that financial analysis to really assess, is this something worthy for you to continue? So this answer may differ from institution to institution based on, you know, their patient population, payer mix and such. But for us, when we look at not only just the short-term, finance revenue, which we are really, for all honesty, we are not looking to sort of, for example, gain a lot of revenue from this program. Our intent was really to expand our capacity and access, and also more for our long-term vision of seeing all the digital health, all the, patient care services expanding to home. We want to be able to have this program as an enabler to enable all the other services, like I mentioned earlier, urgent care at home, SNF at home, rehab at home, home health, and really become sort of a home ecosystems in a future state.
So Kai, you mentioned specific patient populations. Are there specific patient populations that UChicago Medicine are targeting?
Yeah, we have identified five patient conditions. So they are acute infections, which includes pneumonia, UTI, cellulitis, or COVID. Second category would be heart failure or fully overload. Third would be COPD or asthma exacerbation. Fourth would be acute kidney injury. And the last would be DVT or pulmonary embolism that requires oral warfarin transitioning or oxygen monitoring. So these five group of patients are what we're going to start with. But I really see a lot of other potentials in the future. So first, any general medicine patients who have a medical reason to stay in the hospital, maybe their blood pressure is high, their blood sugar is high, and these are the things you can monitor and treat safely at home. All of these patients can be admitted to the program. We also have seen other use cases in post-surgical recovery, sending some of these patients who it's already been expedited to discharge from a surgical perspective, but now can maybe even go home earlier if you have the right monitoring treatment programs at home. And the third will be the chemotherapy. So we see a lot of oncology patients start to be actually treated at home. Traditionally, a lot of this IV chemotherapy will have to be given by, in a hospital. But now we start to see some potential to actually do those at home as well through this program.
Got it. So now we've discussed somewhat the financial incentives. We discussed the operational challenges to some extent. What about the IT challenges with implementation, or potentially, since you mentioned that may not be such a great challenge, there may be with different data formats and integration of data. Also, I'm interested in challenges with patient adoption and use, especially if you have a geriatric population that's less familiar with technology.
Now, these are, again, awesome questions, Jordan. So I would say to set up a hospital home program, IT is a relatively smaller piece of, all the other elements, because you have a lot of things to align, including what patients you are seeing, what doctors, meaning, typically hospitals would do, and what the nurses, what the pharmacist workflow. You essentially are reinventing the workflow of every service in the hospital to think about how you can provide those services at home. But that said, IT is a very important enabler and really can speed up the efficiency if we have good system in place. So to start with, you need to have essentially a virtual patient floor in your EHR, regardless of which one you use. Because these are still inpatients. They're just, their location is a room in their home, but everything else is still an inpatient stay. So you need to create sort of that virtual patient floor. And there's quite a few different IT builds around order sets, around the node templates, around all the billing codes that need to be set up. If you are, for example, scanning the patient's medication at home, you need to have those scanners, laptop, mobile devices all set up. But I see more sort of a challenge around the IT space has been, there's a lot of growth and desire to provide service in the space, but there hasn't been a lot of integrations, between these mobile devices to the hospital's EHR. So for example, we are monitoring the patient's heart rate, temperature, weight, breathing rates, and all that through mobile devices. And these will be synced to a tablet through a vendor that we work together for this program. And this data will be ultimately sent back to the EHR. But there are still a lot of other vendors, for example, like if we do a chest X-ray, if we do an EKG, if you do a line placement, through different vendors and, to provide to the patients at home. A lot of these vendors still haven't had integration with the EHR yet. So obviously there will be some efficiency loss when providers need to switch, for example, between different portals and EHR just try to place the order, for example, for chest X-ray. But I hope, in the future state, again, as the program and overall the trend is continue to mature, we'll see more sort of the integration in the space. And last, you mentioned a very important part about adoption. So I think one of the challenge in this program is how do we make sure this service is equitable? Because we don't want to provide this to a certain well-resourced population. We certainly don't want to overlook our elderly population, because a lot of them are actually the majority of patients we use CMS Medicare. So how do we make technology easier? How do we make sure these tablets, for example, are cellular network enabled, so they are not actually reliable on the patient's Wi-Fi at home, because some of our patients don't even have Wi-Fi at home. So we don't want this to be a barrier for them to receive care. So a lot of the work has been around reaching out to the patients. We interview with quite a few patient advocates and also community patient panels to understand their perspective, to understand the barriers they may have, and come up with support or resources to address these needs, including the tablets, including the Wi-Fi, but also including, for example, different languages, including sort of different ways to introduce the material to help them quickly understand the care model.
Thank you, Kai. And I appreciate you going through the IT challenges with integrating mobile devices to hospital EHRs, challenges with adoption and ensuring and keeping in mind the potential challenges to health equity that need to be addressed in this program. One thing I'd like to address, which is incredibly important, which is to what extent does this hospital at home program affect quality of care and health outcomes compared to comparable inpatient care?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So we have some research, studies done before, and most of them share there's a very significant reduction of readmission rates. There's also study shows there's reduction of length of stay by 1 to 2 days. There's in general, and I'm saying in general terms, just because different study quote different numbers, but in general, you see a cost saving somewhere around 10% to 20%, depending on which study you quote. And like I mentioned earlier, for the patients, the patient experience has been through the roof. There's a lot of patient satisfaction around now being able to be at home, surrounded by their family and friends, being in a very familiar environment. And also, again, because they are familiar with the environment, we see there's a huge increase in terms of the time they are active, meaning they stand up, walk around much more often than in traditionally in a hospital stay, which again is in a more foreign environment to them. Patients also sleep better because now they don't have alarms and all these broadcasts that we have to do in a hospital for some urgent cases. Now they are at home sleeping sound, peace and sound until the visit next day. So they really have more control. So what I usually frame this program to the patient is instead of you coming to us and sort of follow our schedule, in this program, it's we bring the service to you and actually, adjust our services based on your daily routine. So I think this is where, quite a few benefits we have seen in the program around the patient quality and safety and satisfaction.
Hi, the Commonwealth Fund has said, quote, hospital at home programs enable patients to receive acute care at home, have proven effective in reducing complications while cutting the cost of care by 30% of or more, as you just mentioned, leading to entrepreneurial efforts to promote their use. But widespread adoption of the model in the U.S. has been hampered by physicians' concerns about patient safety as well as legal risk and by the reluctance of payers, including Medicare, to reimburse providers for delivering services at home. Now, I know you mentioned that Medicare, or you said CMS, which is the regulatory body that runs the Medicare program, has now begun reimbursing for these programs. I wonder if you have experienced any pushback against this model as just described by the Commonwealth Fund, or if you have, how you've been able to overcome this pushback.
Yeah, no, that's another great question. So the payer side, as we mentioned earlier, so now CMS have a waiver program to address some of the Medicare fee-for-service patients. So that's better. And for the value-based payment models, overall, you know, this program will really fit right well because it really reduces, you know, a lot of readmissions and really, you know, provides care in a usually more cost-saving way compared with traditional brick and mortar stay. But all in all, we still are, you know, pending some of the other payers to flip and be on board with this new care model. So the concern around would more, you know, payers fall in line, or would this be sort of just stayed here and just with CMS waiver program, and how long that program is going to stay, even if this bill has, you know, passed and with 2 more years. So there's always some uncertainty here around the payers and reimbursements overall. The other thing mentioned, you know, as you quote, around reluctance of the physicians, you know, around patient safety, I think that's also pretty real as well. I think so far, you know, within UChicago Medicine, I think we're pretty lucky that pretty much everyone that I've encountered so far has been very excited about this care model. People believe this is something we can deliver, and also people believe this is something really good for the patients and good for the healthcare system. But that's not to overlook the fact that there is actually always some resistance from the provider to a new care type of care model, especially something as drastic as to just move the care to the patient's home. There's obviously concern about traditionally in a brick and mortar, you have a lot more control over a patient, right? Because you can say, I want to get this lab, and you click the order, you will be getting that lab within an hour. You want to give them medication, you can do that in an hour. You want to see the patient, you can do that within a few minutes. But now everything's remote. So there's some level of challenge around, we are sort of not having all these control and all of these monitoring and also potentially deliver these treatments within the timely fashion like we typically do. So would that, you know, be an issue, and would that jeopardize the patient's safety? So a big chunk of, I think, the success factors around this program will be around how do we carefully select the right patient population. This patient need to be sick enough to be inpatient level stay, you know, observation level or outpatient level patients doesn't count. So they need to be sick enough to be admitted to a hospital. But in the meantime, we're not admitting those patients who are going to the ICU next minute. We need to be carefully select the patient who of lower to intermediate acuity of care to be able to, you know, treat them safely at home. So I think these will remain challenges, but I remain very optimistic that these are addressable challenges.
Kai, we're approaching the end of this podcast episode, and I'd like to ask you to take 30 seconds and speak to your colleagues, other CIOs, CMIOs across the United States, and speak. What message would you like to tell them about the Hospital at Home program?
Yeah, I would say all in all, driving innovation can be tough. You know, sometimes it can be really against the organizational culture to do something, you know, pretty innovative and also relatively have more risk involved. But I think, you know, for Hospital at Home, I think really align well with the trend of, you know, telehealth growth, align well with the digital health developments, and also will be a very significant enabler for many of these digital health solutions to come. So I really encourage to review, analyze, and determine internally about whether it's something you want to adopt. But I think a lot of you will really find this is a very worthy program to invest.
And this has been Dr. Cheng Kai Cao, the Chief Clinical Informatics Information Officer at the University of Chicago School of Medicine.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.